The days are longer and warmer, the ways of celebrating are different, and so is the food. It's picnic and barbecue season, or will be very soon. We'll be eating things we don't often see the rest of the year and leaving some of it out on tables in the heat for hours at a time. So there are a couple things to watch out for in both the consumption of summer foods and the handling and storage of it. Our first guest today thinks about this stuff. Felicia Stoller is a dietitian and nutritionist and author. She's also running for Congress in New Jersey, but that's not on the table here. And she's our guest to talk about summer foods. Hi, Felicia.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
It's good to have you here. We might as well start with the mayonnaise because it seems like that is the very first thing that people talk about when it comes to summer foods. Is my potato salad going to kill people if it's out in the sun for more than an hour? That sort of thing.
Oh, you know, I don't even like mayonnaise. It totally skeeved me out. I always say that's like a no-no. Like the Hellman's people a few years ago were like, can you do some more with them? I'm like, I just don't like mayonnaise. Like, I don't forget about the taste. It's just, it's like kind of weirds me out. But they, you know, they're like, we make it with better fats, you know, and I get it. Like, you know, it's been a big staple in holding food together for a long time, and it's a component of dips and things. So, you know, it's just one of those things because it's got the protein and the fat. You got to be real careful about it in the heat, you know, that it's sort of like a little breeding ground for germs. But that's not to say that, you know, you can't use other things. I mean, I think you can use other things. Like, I often will swap out things like avocado and hummus to keep my food together.
Boy, this is like avocado's golden moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I've been a big fan of avocados for a long time. It's like eating a slice of a multivitamin, so yeah.
Is it true, Felicia, that foodborne illnesses increase in the summer?
You know, right now, based upon sort of what we're looking at in terms of some other like little outbreaks of foodborne illness, I think we hear more about it just because of the heat, you know, and leaving food out, people being at barbecues and they just, you know, just leave stuff out. I guess because I'm a dietitian and I've learned so much about food safety, I'm the neurotic person who like will start putting stuff away if it's not being consumed quickly. But unfortunately, people leave stuff out for a long time, and that's where, you know, you run the risk of developing some foodborne illnesses. So, yeah.
All right. So what are some of the basic guidelines, then, that people need to consider? I mean, if they do want to leave it out for a while because they're expecting people to, you know, come through an open house or something, what sorts of precautions should they take?
Well, first of all, anything that really needs to be, like, refrigerated, like dairy products and, you know, that sort of, you know, things that I think about, or something that's warm that's going to get, like, cooled down to, you know, depending on, I guess it sort of really depends on the food, right, in terms of how long you can leave it out. Because there are some things like fish and chicken and beef, like, once they've been cooked, you know, we've seen them, you know, served cold. I think it's a matter of, you know, whether or not something was prepared properly and, you know, whether or not there may be some remnant of a germ in there. I mean, I don't profess to be, like, the biggest expert in that. I mean, there are people, like, with microbiology backgrounds that could probably do more justice on it. But I always just think about, like, keeping refrigerated foods in the refrigerator until you're ready to serve them, keeping hot foods hot and cold foods cold, and, you know, maybe just not putting everything all out at the same time and just rotating things around and putting them away as quickly as possible if you're going to save it. Because I'm a big advocate for preventing food waste, which is a big cause of greenhouse gases. So,
what are some of the things people can do then to prevent food waste?
Reuse your food. You know, basically put it away. You know, store it, put it away, reuse it again, turn it into something else. I take a lot of vegetables that are, you know, just about ready to go and turn them into soup. You can throw things in the freezer. I throw fruit in the freezer a lot. I throw a lot of, like, things like berries in the freezer. I make sure they're washed and dried, and then I put them in the freezer for other use, and I use them again.
Felicia Stoller, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, dietitian and nutritionist and author. We're talking about summer foods from a couple of different angles. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your question, your comment, 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned you're not a microbiologist, so let's talk about the nutrition part of this. When you look at the items in the summer diet, is there anything that causes you concern right off the bat?
Well, what I love about the summer is that we've got lots of produce that's available locally to most of us. So you can go to, I recommend going to, you know, farmers markets to to get lots of summer produce, right, because there's lots of water in it, especially if you think about fruits over the summer, like melons and berries have lots of water in them. So it's sort of nature's way of making sure we stay well hydrated. But, you know, a lot of people in the summertime, they are having things like ice cream, you know, over this, and a lot of dairy over the summer, and there's a lot of fat in that, and a lot of extra calories. And, you know, and for people that are lactose intolerant, it can be a real problem. You know, they want to participate in all the summer delicacies with everybody else, but beyond the whole, you know, lactate issue and you know, being lactose intolerant. And so lactate is an enzyme that you take, that you can take before having a dairy meal, which will allow somebody that has lactose intolerance to basically have the enzyme available so they can digest the food. But I also think about it in terms of calories, you know, that ice cream has a lot of calories. So can you do things like have more frozen fruit over the summer? And, you know, I always ask people, like, do you substitute fruit for dessert every once in a while? It's good to do, and it's great to have. And, again, it's about getting more fruits and vegetables into your diet, because the typical American diet doesn't have enough fruits and veggies in it.
So once in a while, skip the cake, skip the ice cream, go for the frozen fruit.
Yeah, go for the frozen fruit. Make your own. I mean, I'm going to be making a lot more of that this summer too. Frozen fruit purees to put in drinks if you're going to have alcoholic beverages, or even things you can add to a spritzer with soda. You know, people drink a lot of flavored beverages. You can make your own fruited waters and teas and sodas. So I definitely recommend that people do that.
Well, I'm curious now. The purees for the drinks, what kinds of – well, I want to turn this into a bar segment, but give us one example.
I know. I'm like a little mixologist over here. I like to do – well, what I like to do is I take my melons, like my watermelon and my cantaloupe and my honeydew, and I like to do melon balls. So whether, you know, I put those in the drinks or whether we're just eating them. But then I take all the scrappy parts that don't make the perfect little round balls, and that's what I puree down, and I use that in drinks. So we put that in with either water. You could add club soda to it. You could do it with whatever alcoholic beverage of your choice, you know, that you want, you know, or take those little, you know, pieces and put them into like a sangria or something. But, you know, again, it's about like using it and not throwing it out.
Are there some summer foods that you advise people to stay away from for either nutritional or safety reasons?
Hot dogs. I try to tell people to stay away from hot dogs. I mean, not to totally offend the hot dog industry, but, you know, they do have a lot of nitrates in them. People like to eat hot dogs, like burnt. Like my mom always says, she likes the burnt hot dogs. And I always have to tell her that the burnt charring part is what we call carcinogenic. It's cancer causing. So you want to avoid that, right? You want to minimize that. If you're going to have a hot dog, you're better off having it like boiled, or if you're going to cook it on a barbecue, cook it away from the flame and at higher heat, or definitely consider putting some foil down so that you're not burning it. But, you know, to me, a hot dog's just a way to get, you know, to get the other things like sauerkraut in, which I happen to love, which can be good and bad for people. You know, sauerkraut for some people, it's great because it's a fermented food and it's a great form of probiotics. But, in that you've got the probiotics in there, plus you also have the fiber from the cabbage. So it's got the pre and the pro. But, you know, for some other people, it's a problem because it has histamine in it. It's a high histamine food. And for some people, they have a problem with histamine intolerance. So other foods that can be problematic for people with histamine intolerance are things like wine and cheese. So imagine, you know, we have lots of wine and cheese over the summer at people's homes. And, you know, if you have a histamine intolerance, what's going to happen is that you're going to have a reaction to the histamine. So good news is for people that have the histamine intolerance, there is an enzyme that you may be lacking or maybe inhibited called DAO or diamine oxidase, and you can actually take that as a supplement. Just like the lactate pill, you can take the DAO. There's the brand, it's called Umbrellux, UMBRELLUX DAO. You can order it online at the website for that or get it on Amazon. But it's a fantastic solution for people who otherwise, you know, would get headaches very shortly after they would consume wine or cheese and, you know, break out in hives and a rash. And, you know, it's not about the sulfites. It's literally about the histamine and the inability to have enough enzyme available to break the histamine down. Because histamine is a natural part of our body's immune system. It's part of food. It's, you know, it's allergy season. People take antihistamines. So, again, there are lots of contributing factors that can make it very challenging for people to enjoy either foods they always loved or foods that, you know, they just want to be like everybody else at the party and not feel like they can't eat something.
Felicia Stoller is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a dietitian and nutritionist and author. We're talking about summer foods and some of the issues with them. You can join us on the exchange with your questions or comments. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to expand the zone just a little bit because we've been sticking pretty much with barbecues and backyards and that sort of thing, but county fairs and some of the food that gets consumed there. I just have to wonder if more diets are broken at backyard barbecues or county fairs.
Yeah, right. I mean, in New Jersey, I know what I get at our county fairs. It's not the same thing as what goes on in the Midwest. But who doesn't like a fried Oreo every once in a while, you know? Or those, there's a lot of fried food for sure. And the kettle corn, which, you know, in theory, popcorn isn't so bad. It's whole grain. But, you know, when you put all that other stuff on it, now it just takes it to a whole new level.
It is kind of an arms race to see who can deep fat fry the weirdest thing, isn't it?
Right. I think they do like deep fat fried butter or something.
I've heard about that too, yeah. Deep fat fried
and
Twinkies.
Fried ice cream, right?
Yeah, right. So what is oil, all that oil doing to your body if you're eating stuff that comes out of the deep fryer on a regular basis?
Well, you know, I mean, the truth is, I know that, you know, there's a whole movement talking about, like, you can have a high-fat diet. I still say no. I mean, if you look at the number one cause of death in the United States, it's still heart disease. And while it's not, you can't blame one food or one food group entirely for it, you can make better for you food choices. And it's about like lifestyle and what you choose on a regular basis. So eating fried food every once in a while isn't bad, but if you eat it all the time, and some people do eat a lot of fried food, it's just really not good for your health. You know, it's like, what is it crowding out? What other ingredients are you not getting more of? You know, you're most likely not eating more, you know, greens and plant-based foods, and you know, eating French fries is not, you know, the only way to eat a potato, right? Or potato chips is not the only way to eat a potato. You can have baked potatoes, and there's big varieties of potatoes that you, you know, should be consuming more of. But, you know, it does contribute to having extra calories. It's very easy to eat extra calories from fried foods. You know, the fried food equivalent of, you know, something that you're eating is just going to increase your calories. So you look at it in terms of energy in versus energy out and excessive calories. And obesity is caused by an energy imbalance. So not taking in or not expending calories relative at a rate relative to what you're taking in, so that you have a surplus of extra calories that just get stored as fat.
Well, you know, while we're on that, I was running across something yesterday. I was counting up calories for a bicycle ride, that kind of thing. How big a difference does there need to be between expenditure of calories and what you take in to get some real weight loss if you're trying to go that way?
Well, I mean, for weight loss, we look at it as it's 500 calories a day for 3,500 calories over a week. That's for 1 pound of weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think about that, how many calories you need versus expending, right? So I'm 5'4". I'm 51 years old. I probably need to, for maintaining my weight, need to take in no more than like 1,800 calories a day. So like, you know, if I'm taking in that much more excessive, right, calories. So when I'm working with clients, I look at what they take in. We sort of do an estimate of their caloric intake and try to create an energy imbalance. So I'm like looking for this calorie deficit. So I want people to do more physical activity, certainly to increase their calories, because, you know, you don't want people eating significantly low calorie diets. I mean, these very low calorie diets exist, but and they do create weight loss for people, but they're not sustainable. And that's the problem. And the other thing too, with calorie counting, I find it's another version of like OCD for people, you know, and it makes people more confused about foods and what they should be eating. So what I've really been transitioning people to doing is just concentrating more on eating more plant-based, watching portions, trying to chew your food and eat slower. And, you know, pay attention to satiety cues when you feel full, you know. Mm-hmm. Really assemble a plate of food based upon what you should be eating and hopefully chew it slow enough and eat it slow enough so that you feel full, right? I mean, we can all agree when you go out to eat, most portions are very large.
Yeah, you can always take half of that home, I find.
That's right, and then you have a meal for the next time.
Quick call here from Jim in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Felicia Stoller. We're talking nutrition.
Hi there. How long does it take for food poisoning to come on? Do you get it the next day, or was it more of an immediate thing?
Oh, good question. I've always wondered about that. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, so food poisoning can come on pretty quickly. It can come on very rapidly, like within a half hour to an hour of eating something, but it can also sometimes be a little bit longer and even be like a day later. So it depends on the pathogen. And this is where, again, like I'm not a microbiologist, I'm not an expert on those types of things. But, you know, I think we've all been in situations where, you know, maybe the next day after eating something, like you don't know if it's like you just had your own stomach bug. And then sometimes you have to have like some confirmation data because you've got to ask some other people that ate the same thing as you. Are you feeling okay? You know, so sometimes we don't even know, is it just ourselves having a stomach bug, or is it, you know, did everybody who ate the same food get sick? And I've personally gone to restaurants and eaten something and just right away just not felt well. And actually, a word of caution, people that take proton pump inhibitors, especially over the summertime, it decreases the acid production in your stomach. And so what can happen is foods, if they're not cooked right, or even if there's something in a food that otherwise would not make you sick, might make you sick. Like, for example, I know a few years ago I was having really bad GERD, and I was taking, I won't say which brand it was, but I was taking a proton pump inhibitor. I was out to a restaurant with some friends. We ate family style, and there was some kind of a whole fish on the table. And I was in half hour just was so sick to my stomach. Not one other person got sick. And then I was doing some homework, and I realized that because I was on this proton pump inhibitor, that if there was something that in normal circumstances I had adequate stomach acid would have killed some pathogen in there, just did not. And that's why I didn't feel good.
Ah, okay. So very different circumstances, person to person. Just look at the interactions,
right,
potentially with what you might be taking and with what you're about to take in the way of food.
Right. But I think people don't even realize when they're taking other medications that can also impact your resistance or your ability to fight off some type of pathogen that's in your food.
All right. Makes sense. Well, a lot to think about as we head into the summer eating season. Felicia Stoller is a dietitian and nutritionist and author and also candidate for Congress in New Jersey District 4, with the primary coming up on June 5th.
I'm actually not doing the primary now. I am not doing the primary. I'm bypassing the primary, running independent of party now, and going directly to the November election.
All right. Well, congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining
us
today on the Jefferson Exchange.